806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Friday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, and staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams giving us at least a couple more days of dry weather, which is great news. Try to get these river levels down before the next bunch of rain starts hitting next week. So we'll talk more about that coming up at around 8:30. And we've also mentioned the fact that, if you didn't notice, that Super Tuesday is now finally almost here.
Right around the corner.
You know, we had Fat Tuesday, and now we've got Super Tuesday down in our neck of the woods. We had two pretty momentous Tuesdays here in a week's time. So
Super Fat Tuesdays, we called it.
That's right. That's what's happening around here. And we continue our Get to Know the Candidate series as you get ready to head to the polls on Tuesday. And this is good because this is a department, this is an elected position you hear me talk about from time to time on the show. And I do like to get into the conversation about Public Service Committee Commission and talk to a candidate for president of the PSC, Dr. Robin Lydecker, joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled, and it's such an honor because for those of us that are Republicans and conservative, talk radio is our truth, and it's our way of getting the real news. So I appreciate being on.
Well, thank you. You have roots here in South Alabama, and you have 34 years in administration and classroom teacher jobs. You were voted Alabama's Teacher of the Year. Let's talk about that before we get into PSC.
Okay, I'll talk about my family first. They're in Mobile and Baldwin County. I've taught at Maryvale Elementary for 10 years, back in the 80s, early 90s. And then I finished my career up in Hoover, but I taught for 25 years before I became an administrator, and then I've worked as a COO for a small software company. I've attended law school, and I have a insurance adjuster's license.
Wow. Okay, so no moss growing on Robin Lydecker.
Oh, no,
for sure.
No. No, and my heart is in public service, and I'm not a politician by any means. I don't intend for this to be my career. It's going to be my service, my Philippians 2:3. I want to do government different. This is a state agency that's in bad need of an overhaul. I'm going to do some things different, like every month I'm going to report what I do, who I talk to, when I talk to them, why I'm talking to them, why I vote the way I vote. I want to make the website where it's user-friendly for people, because as I've traveled around the state, what I'm finding out is people don't even know what the Public Service Commission is there for. It's
right.
There to serve you. For example, if you have a problem with a power bill and you can't get it resolved with the power company, you should be able to contact the PSC. You should be able to talk to a commissioner and get someone to help you out with it. And I have heard some really, really sad stories, mainly retired people on fixed incomes, that they try to get some resolve with issues, and they absolutely cannot. And kind of person I am, I know I can fix that.
You know, with the PSC being our oversight over utilities in the state, a lot of people worry about there being influence from said utilities in the PSC. Just, the entity that's supposed to look into the utilities has a lot of influence in the PSC.
Yes, and you know what? You shouldn't have that kind of perception. And I'm somebody that I didn't care for a whole lot one time told me perception's reality. There's no excuse for that. If you look at the job description, and this is a full-time job, you are supposed to be the voice of the people of Alabama, and we have the second highest residential utility bills in the country, and I want to know why. And I want commissioners serving me that will step up and tell the people of Alabama why are our bills so high. And I can tell you one reason, if you have time, and this upsets me for the people in South Alabama. We have been given the perception that the Public Service Commission gives money back to the general fund. Have you heard that?
I've heard people say it before, yes.
Yeah, okay. In 2018, they supposedly gave back $13 million. Well, I'm going to tell you, they didn't give back. They transferred the money because the money is generated at the PSC from bills. You know, for example, utility bills. They charge companies for the right to be regulated. So who do you think pays for that?
That would be we the people.
Yeah, that would be us. And in 2018, that money predominantly went to LDOT. And that upsets me, even though I'm not living down there now, for them to ask you all to pay tolls. And it's almost like, how many different ways are they getting us with money and then pretending they're conservative by giving money that never originated in the general fund? And then also I want to look at this job pays $130,000 a year plus insurance plus retirement. And these jobs are not being treated as full-time jobs. So when I get in there, if I find out it's not a full-time job, I'm going to ask the state legislature to cut it to half-time. And that way, that will save the people of Alabama millions of dollars, because that does come out of the general fund. I mean, it's things like that that upset me. And people say, would you give up $130,000 a year? And I'm like, yeah, if you're a real Republican, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. You know, we believe in small government. So I'm ready for also for Republicans to really start walking the walk in this state.
Well, Dr. Lineker, looking at, you mentioned something earlier too. I want to circle back around to with utility rates in the state. Now, digging into that, I know we've talked about it on this show over the years, and actually there was some investigative reporting that was done a while back that showed it's not even far flung locations that have lower utility. I mean, we can look at other people here in the Southeast, states like Georgia, that have significantly lower utility bills than we do in Alabama.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and we all want to know why. Now, I did ask somebody that worked closely with the PSC, and this isn't funny, but I laughed about it. They said, well, it's hot in Alabama. And I'm like, well, last I checked, it was hot in Georgia, too. But,
yes,
you know, their utility rates are lower than ours. So, and one of my questions is, are those excessive fees and bills one reason our bills are so high? I'm sorry, excessive fees and taxes.
Because,
and, I mean, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. And what I want to do, I want to get in there, serve in the office, fix that outdated state agency, and then do what politicians ought to do, go home. You know,
to understand this correctly, too, for people that are hearing what you're saying, that the general fund through this transfer, this money that's going out of PSC, there's a motivation to have, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just going to say that there could be a perceived motivation to have higher utility rates because of the excise taxes built in on those utility rates that go to the state, right? Is that, I mean, am I off on that?
No, that's, I mean, I'm insinuating that because I think that's a very good question that somebody needs to answer. I mean,
because where's the motivation, right? That's what we're getting, because Public Service Commission, and you're running for president of the PSC, we would hope would be the advocate for the consumer in the state. The utility, we don't have a choice. We can't shop around when it comes to utilities. So we're going with this utility. So therefore, the oversight has to come in through the PSC. So the motivation seems to be split between the citizen or getting revenue into the state coffers.
Exactly. And why? And we need people, and I'm sorry my voice is so squeaky this morning. I've been to 50 events lately, but we need people in office who are there to serve people. You know, you put yourself in the place of somebody who has a fixed income. I mean, if you have time, one of the stories that I've heard is there was a retired woman that went up to my brother when he was covering an event for me, and she and her husband were both retired, fixed income. He was a disabled vet, had a lot of medical equipment in their house, and they have to use one of those old digital boxes. I mean, one of those old breaker boxes that they have to come and read instead of a digital box,
okay.
The new fancy kind.
Right.
And it's because the digital box interferes with his medical equipment. Well, they're charging them $60 a month more, and they're already on a fixed income, and they didn't know they could go to the PSC. And see, that's what I want to stop. I want to stop that. That's just completely unnecessary. People ought to know if there are going to be state agencies, they ought to know what those state agencies are there for, and the people that work there should be there to be at the citizens' beck and call.
You know, we talk about power as part of the utility, but also we deal with gas, natural gas, a lot of people using that.
Yes. Yeah, it's not just power. And see, that's another $100 question. I mentioned earlier I'd like to redo the website. You ought to be able to go on the PSC website and put your zip code in, and every business that falls within the jurisdiction of the PSC ought to pop up. Well, now I've been talking about this for a long time, and they have gone in, and you can see the companies now, and they actually have them in alphabetical order, but there are no phone numbers. You just have to go down this massive list to see if your utility or telecommunication or transportation company falls within the jurisdiction of the PSC. It's ridiculous. Not with this day of technology. You ought to be able to get in there, put your zip code in, find the business you're looking for, and then there ought to be instructional videos, phone numbers, instructions of what to do so that state agency and the people you elect can help you.
Dr. Robin Littiger, and we're getting up against a news break here, but if there is there a website or a Facebook page people can go to get more information on your campaign?
Yes, it's Elect Robin Littiger, Alabama Public Service Commission is my Facebook page, and I have robinlittiger.com, and word of mouth is what I'm banking on, because I do not have unlimited funds like my opponent.
You have pointed out, too, you feel your opponent's just looking for the next job, and you wouldn't be. You would not be campaigning for another state position while at the PSC.
Oh, no. I want to do this. I've studied it a long time, and I want to do this, and I know this is a position that I can really help citizens of Alabama with.
We appreciate your time. Thank you very much for checking in with us, and hopefully that voice gets rested here after Tuesday.
Okay, so thank you, and I apologize for the squeaky. I don't normally sound like
that. Listen, it's understandable. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being with us as we continue our Get to Know the Candidate series. Dr. Robin Littiger, who will be on the ballot for PSC on Tuesday. All right, coming right back. Thank you, Kane. 825 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by The Maids, referred for a reason. Let me make that plural. Referred for many, many reasons. Been a part of our life now since October at the Sullivan House, and what a difference they've made in our life. The house stays clean, which is an accomplishment with a family of four, two of those being youngsters. and maybe messy youngsters, and maybe some messy parents. I don't know if, but I know this. House is clean, and we have the time back in our schedule we were spending in the past, sweeping and mopping, vacuuming, dusting, all that. The maids are taking care of it, and that's more time for family time. It's more time for work, more time for hobbies, and it means a lot to our family, and I'm sure it does to you. They did a survey with the maid's customers, and found that 96% of people who use the maids would refer them to their friends and family, okay? And I'm doing the same, referring you to the maids. Right now, you can get a free estimate and see what I'm talking about by calling 344-6626. 344-6626. They'll get in touch with you. They'll make an appointment, come out, and give you a free estimate on the spot. Mobile, Baldwin County, it's the maids. Get that free estimate. Get the people that clean at our house. Love them. 344-6626. 344-6626 for the maids. All right, and some other questions coming in here on PSC, and I mean, if people want to talk, I love talking Public Service Commission, but I often realize when I'm talking about it, I think people are like, oh, I don't care. Listen, the utility rate thing, Ben Raines, back when he was with the Register and AL.com, he wrote a fantastic series on utility rates, and if I can get to digging, I can find that. What we're paying here in comparison to other states. And somebody's asking here, why is the water department, let's see, why in the water company under the PSC? And I don't know if they aren't, and I don't know the answer to it. I would guess that, you know, with, like, for example, Mobile Water, I don't know about others, but there is a board that looks over Mobile Water that's appointed by city council members from the different districts. Maybe that's the entity that oversees it. I'm not saying that's for sure. That's my best guess. I can dig into that. But, yeah, the utilities, I mean, I'm big on the PSC because you don't have a choice. You know, when it comes to utilities, often I lament when you get the extra publications from utilities. You know, you get this from power companies or water company or whatever, sends you like, oh, here's our magazine to look through. And I get frustrated because I'm in the advertising business, but that's in a world where you can choose one company over another. That's in the world of competition. With a utility, you can't.
Right, you're stuck.
So just use that money to make the service better and the rates less expensive than putting out a publication. I've never understood that. And maybe because of some kind of mandate, some kind of state law mandate that they have to do that. But that's silly. That's I mean, why are you promoting, you know, like, versus what? Where else am I going to get water from? Where else am I going to get power from? Where else am I going to get gas from?
Yeah, outside of the utilities, what else does the Public Service Commission kind of monitor?
That's their job.
Just utilities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's their job.
And then if you know that if the Public Service Commission for Alabama or any state ends up bowing to whatever it is that the utilities want rather than, you know, looking out for their people, then you know you're in trouble.
And I think the subtlety that we're just talking about is interesting because it may not be specifically in deference to a utility. It may be in deference or maybe pressure if there's a certain amount of these excise taxes coming off the utility bills that are going to the state. Then there may be pressure to make sure that cash keeps coming. Like we've talked about this, the grocery tax, eliminating grocery tax in the state. Well, there's a lot of people that say they support eliminating grocery tax. I've got my hand up and have for, you know, a decade or more on this. Same time, they're going to turn around and say, but we need that money.
Mm-hmm.
Where else, if you're going to eliminate this, where's the money going to come from? And probably on this one, it's not like they're saying do something devious, but the state's going to say we need that money coming through the utilities. So is that Public Service Commission, are they, who do they look to? They look to the people, they look to other people in state government and general fund coffers. Where, you know, where does that go? And I think it's worth asking. I've asked this for years, and it's something that people don't pay attention to. People know more about what goes on in Washington than goes on in our state. And I think it's worth looking at PSC as well, the responsibility of monitoring the utilities. And maybe there's, and you know what, maybe there's absolutely good reasons for the rates being higher. You know, maybe, but I think we need to talk about this. All right, 8:30, FM Talk 106.5, coming right back. More Mobile Mornings.
Thank you, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Happy Friday morning, buddy.
Happy Friday. And we're out of Mardi Gras now, but still time to get over to McConnell and get one of those Mardi Gras trucks.
Yeah, I tell you what, Dalton, I told you, y'all really helping us get the word out. We started off with, 27 or 28. We're down to 17 or 18. But what I want customers that are listening to know is nobody else, Dalton, anywhere on the Gulf Coast, really anywhere, has these trucks. And what they are is brand new X31s and AT4s, all the hottest merchandise in GMC Sierra, with discounts no other dealer has because they were used for Mardi Gras. So I just, man, we're having a bunch of fun. We sold three of them yesterday, so I want people to jump on it. Dalton, the other thing, buddy, is people that want SUVs like a Yukon or Yukon XL, Acadia, 0%, man, for 60. And then on Acadia, 72 months. That's just a way to really lower payments and all that stuff, buddy. They can find on our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, or come see us on Dolphin Street. It's just east of I-65.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a great weekend, man.
You too. That's Mitch McConnell. Just like he said, you can find him and the crew at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
This is good. Getting some questions on the text line about PSC. Sometimes I talk PSC and I'm like, oh, Sullivan, nobody cares. You're like the only person that cares about this. But this is one of these positions that I see as crucial.
A vital role of government?
I don't know if I can make those words.
What I was going to say, because you're not normally...
I'm not. But in a situation where you have a utility... If it was free market, the consumer says this company's not doing me right, fine, I'll go with the other one. But in a situation with the utility, where's your recourse?
Mm-hmm.
This is your recourse. People asking about the more comments about the water board. So the water board oversees Mobile Air, Water, and Sewer System. I'm sure it's something similar for the other utilities out there. I don't know that for like Daphne Sewer and all the, I'm not sure. But I do know, when you look at gas, you look at power, what the PSC here in Alabama does. And I'll tell you, I've gone around and around with this before in the last cycle, no, the cycle before last for PSC. And one candidate in particular who I think got mad at me, but in a discussion, they were basically their whole discussion and their whole campaign was what they were doing to fight Obama. And I said, listen, we have other elected officials that go to Washington to fight Obama. How about you watch the utilities? How about you do that? And I know that's not popular, but I'm not in a popularity contest.
Regarding the water companies, they do have this on the Public Service Commission Alabama website. It says Utility Services Division has responsibility for regulation of natural gas utilities, wireline telecommunications, private water, and private wastewater utilities.
Okay. So maybe they do have that oversight. Now, so big question about telephone companies regulated by PSC, but cable companies and satellite companies are not. Is it fair, is it fair for telephone company to be restricted by regulation when their competitors are free to do whatever they want? I would imagine not. That's maybe one of the places you need to look into it. If there's competition out there, then in that situation, you don't have to have the PSC oversight. It's the places you don't have competition. All right, grab some phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Look here, it's Dr. Lou Campomenosi joining us. Hey, Dr. Lou.
Come on, Sean, how you doing?
Good. Am I boring you with the PSC talk?
No, not at all, because for one thing, what you were just talking about is exactly the questions that need to be asked, but unfortunately, the way the political system is, those kinds of questions are never going to get answered, and these people who want to run against Obama... That is a problem. But Dr.
You remember
Leiter,
that, don't you?
That we are supporting. So
I'm
not going to be objective about this.
Okay,
she
well, good.
Was too nice to really talk about the major problem in terms of rates and all the rest of that. And it goes to the heart of why we are not going to ever see anything change, because big money is being given to the people who are on the PSC. Good example. I just did a research on Twinkle Cavanaugh's donations.
Mm-hmm.
From January of 19 to February of 20, 13 months, okay?
Okay.
She took $10,000 from Drummond Corporation.
Cole.
Drummond, as you recall, major problem with environmental issues in Birmingham, major scandal.
Superfund.
So the question
site,
is two-part. One, why in the world would you take money from a corporation that has those kinds of ethical issues down the in the past? The The second question is, how is it that people who are involved in the power industry are taking, are giving money to you, and you don't think that there's an ethical conflict there? I mean, this is ridiculous. That is a problem.
Yeah, it's real and perceived problem that there's a
exactly.
very cozy relationship between utilities and the entity that regulates them. And I invite people on from the utilities, to get their fair shake on it and talk about it with us. I think that's fair. But the perception out there, and that's not just here in South Alabama. I mean, that's somebody in Huntsville, somebody in Auburn, somebody in Tuscaloosa, somebody in Dothan. They're all going to say, we're not all going to say, but people will say, man, it seems like they're really cozy with the PSC, these utilities.
Yeah, this question for a serious discussion, with people who really know the ins and outs of the utility, business. And I certainly don't pretend to have that, but I do have an understanding about the political influence of money, and we're seeing it over and over again in just the fact that we have not been able to get rid of Common Core because the BCA has bought and paid for Hubbard and Morris to keep it. It's that simple.
Well, there's the one that Dr. Leidecker was talking about to me that was interesting is, and I'm adding this to my questions about PSC, is this I don't know what's in people's hearts, but you would think if there's this excise tax coming off the utility bills going to the state coffers, you would possibly feel a tug and a motivation to keep those rates high because that is how you get the percentage of money into the state coffers. I mean, even if they didn't, I don't think that there's people going, hey, you got to keep those rates high so we can get the money. But I imagine you can feel that that's what you should be doing, at least from the state perspective. But that's contrary to the consumer and the citizen.
Well, of course it is. And this whole thing about, Alabama Power having problems with this, that, and the other thing, trying to transition away from coal to gas that costs money, doing the nuclear thing, all of those things are going to be passed off to the consumer. The real question is, at what rate? And there's never been a real rate, hearing that they come in and talk about it under oath. And that is one thing that Terry Dunn asked for years ago. They labeled him a tree hugger, smeared him. And they're trying to do the same thing to Leidecker. That's the problem.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. I had forgot about the Terry Dunn thing. Y'all remember this, and I went round and round because people were wanting to call into the show to tell me, that Terry Dunn was, some kind of communist or something.
Yes, because
dare they ask a question about this? They said, he's very anti-Alabama, and he's anti-coal, and he's anti... He was just asking questions about rates. I mean, y'all don't...
Yeah, right. The heart of the matter, sort of.
Yes, and if we, it should be, and it doesn't have to be adversarial in a negative confrontation, but it should be, one watching the other. It should be a balance between the PSC and the utilities. Their job is to be oversight and a watchdog here, and they got to do that job.
Yeah, well, but you see, that's the problem. I just don't see how you can take big donations from companies that are involved in the whole power system in one way or another and think that you're not going to be influenced by what they want, what they need from you. And I think that's something that needs to be discussed.
For sure. You know what? If you can get, and maybe we'll kind of do a survey here, the text line today in my email inbox, and see, I want people to be interested in it. I worry sometimes they're not, but maybe we're making a good enough point here today that some people will become engaged in this discussion because this is real. They're always talking about, this is kitchen table politics, kitchen table economics. This is people sitting down cutting a check for the utility. Is it fair? I'm not saying I know if it is or isn't, but it's a fair question to ask. Show us how we arrive at these rates that are higher than other southern states.
Yeah, well, I think from the public's perception is that, it's life 101. You're working 10, 12 hours a day. You've got other things on the family's agenda. You've got this, that, and the other. So to a certain degree, unless this thing jumps out at you for some particular reason, people are going to just tend to kind of go along and not worry about that thing because other things are a major question within your family and what you have to do. So...
Fair enough.
But, I mean, listen, John, if we have a low turnout on this March 3rd over this Amendment 1. I mean, all it's going to take is these people who are now pouring $500,000 into various radio ads and TV ads in North Alabama, from what I understand, they could very well win this daggum Amendment 1 thing, which is going to put Common Core right into the Constitution. This is an outrage, but, you know, people, it's like I said in this fair ballot business, you know, the Fair Ballot Commission is part and parcel of what, you know, Marsh and them want. That commission would never identify, and we were up there trying to get them to identify exactly what is going to happen if Amendment 1 passes. They would not do it. They can't do it. So, I mean, this is where we get into this whole, you know, revolving door of money and influence and all the rest of it, and trying to break through it without a lot of money. It is pretty difficult.
You mentioned fair ballot, Dr. Lou, and you know, I've discussed this a couple times over the last few days. I know that there was the move a couple years ago to reform the way CAs, you know, amendments were written on the ballot so they would be understandable. I'm not saying dumb them down. Use some regular language, and I don't know that we've accomplished that.
No, we haven't. In fact, that was a good discussion you had with Mr. Kennedy the other day, and I texted you that the people who had brought that Fair Ballot Commission bill to the floor were two former Tea Party guys who understood what was going on, crafted the bill, got it supported, and then, you know what they did? As soon as the bill passed, they made sure that the commission had all of the cronies on it that were going to do exactly what Marsh wanted. That's what happened, and there's no changing it at this point because, you know, it is what it is. But we went up there when they had the commission meeting, I think it was October, and tried to point out to them that the language that they were looking at to describe the Amendment 1 was absolutely ridiculous. It had nothing to do with what is really going to take place if this amendment passes.
Well said. So, and as always, I appreciate your call and your time, Dr. Lou. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Sean. Take care. Have a good day.
Hey, you
good
too.
Good weekend, too.
Hey, you
all
too.
Right.
All right. We'll be talking. You know what we'll do? I've done this in the past. We'll put the language. We'll go through before Tuesday. We'll go through the amendments and items on there. And as best as I can, with trying to exempt any kind of bias I might have, I'll put it in what I would call truck tailgate language. If you and I are sitting on the tailgate of my truck and I'm trying to explain as best I understand what a bill is, I'll do that.
Please do.
All right. Fair enough. That's on the agenda between now and Super Tuesday, which, by the way, our coverage of Election Day starts it's all day long, and extended coverage starting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, as we will be live on two ends of the state talking about the election results. More details on that coming up. Y'all stay right there. Going to get that organized, which is going to be a lot like getting cats into a dog kennel. But I'd love to have, we get through the election, have the people for PSC at least have one or more representatives come in, and have people from the utilities and talk about it, because it's not a, you know, it's not a shtick with me. I want to know. I mean, I think, you know, I'm no different than anybody else who is paying their power bill. Of course, I get to sign multiple power checks.
Mm-hmm.
You'll want to see. I almost posted it before. I've taken a picture of, and listen, it's fine. Don't cry for me, Argentina. This is what we do for a living. But I've taken a picture of the power bill to run the 50,000 watt transmitter for FM Talk 106.5.
It's pretty cheap, right?
I wish there was some way. You know what I should start doing is get one of those money back credit cards. Listen, okay, put
start
a note here.
Some...
A note for the state. We'll get a money back credit card thing and pay it on there and get points. And then we can get fabulous vacations for the staff and all that.
That's a great idea. I wonder if any of them have like specific clauses in the credit card.
Probably,
say,
yeah.
If you're trying to keep a radio station on air, we'll give you, you know, 5% back.
I mean, if I could get just, you know, whatever the mileage per dollar or something like that, that would be good. I hold me to that. I'm going to try to get, if I can, get those people together, because I want to figure this out. Because I remember Ben Raines did that article about utility rates, and I think it's worth asking. And maybe there's an absolutely good explanation that says, well, it's because X, Y, and Z. Okay, Let's talk about it. All right. So we'll work on that. And by the way, coverage all day on Super Tuesday of elections. And as always, we love it when people call in and talk about how busy their precinct was or wasn't compared to the last time they were there. Also, any stories you see out there. And then we'll be talking about that throughout the day. That leads up to, and so we'll do it on this show. We'll do it on Midday Mobile. And then at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, we're going live. And we're going to lay out what information comes in, process that, try to project some things, not like project wacky, but like saying, okay, this might mean this, that, or the other. And when I say we, it's Jeff Poore. Hey, if you, Dalton, you're going to be, by the way, you're going to be working late that night.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Let you know.
I'll be on the phones.
Yes, and we are going to be checking in with different campaign offices and all that, getting the information in. So if you're out and about on Tuesday night, we'll be getting you the info. You don't have to be without.
And obviously, of utmost importance will be the local races,
yes,
the statewide races, but we've also got Super Tuesday voting for the Democrat campaigns there, so maybe we'll have a mention or two of maybe Bernie Sanders will be running away with it, maybe Joe Biden will fight back a little bit.
Biden wins here.
You think so?
Yeah. And then, of course, there's another choice in the Republican primary other than President Trump, Bill Weld.
Yeah.
The disappointment that is Bill Weld. He brought down, and y'all realize I have I'm not card-carrying member of any party, but I have a lean to the Libertarian Party. But what a disappointment when Gary Johnson added Bill Weld onto the ticket last time. I said, God bless. I'm talking about snatching defeat out of the jaws of, well, when victory, snatching a real big defeat out of the jaws of a small defeat.
The main thing I remember from that, from their campaign, was that they had like one of their only town halls that they're ever invited to do on national TV. And I can't remember if it was CNN or Fox News, but they asked, if you don't win the nomination, they weren't likely to win.
Right.
Who are you likely to vote for? And Bill Weld went on like a full-on, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton thing right there on the stage. Yeah. And I was like, you shouldn't even answer that question when you're running for president.
Well, that's Bill Weld for you. All right. Talk more about this coming up on the Midday Show today. Hope you have a good weekend if we don't talk to you before that. It's going to be fantastic. 2 days of dry out there. What are you planning on doing with your dry weekend?
I am getting to the yard.
Okay.
And I'm going to the Jurassic Quest, the convention center.
There you go. That's good. I'm going to set some woods on fire, I think.
Nice. So, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. You do the Explorium thing, I'll do the fire thing.
You win.
Mike Gallagher next.